Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we're going to get a little bit of holiday spirit going. It's that time of year again, and with us in studio is Patrick Grimes. Welcome back, Patrick.
Well, thank you for having me.
Patrick is the, well, I'll let you say what your title is. He's with Marley Bridges Theater Company, and your title is?
Officially, I'm the artistic director.
Artistic director, so you direct the art.
I try to, but when you're dealing with as many actors as I have to deal with, it's oftentimes like wrangling cats.
I like that, wrangling cats or pushing Jell-O.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's
or sometimes. Making cats push Jell-O.
Okay.
Which is even harder.
It's even harder. Well, it's the holiday time of year for a lot of people, and we are going to be talking about a show that you're putting on, or two shows, I guess, or two performances on December 13th and 14th. And where is that going to be and when?
It is at 7 o'clock at the Newport Art Museum, which is at 76 Bellevue Avenue in Newport. And we are continuing with our holiday tradition. It's the Victorian Christmas Feast. We used to do it at the Astor's Beechwood Mansion in Newport. And for years, since 1981, it's been a holiday tradition. And we've never stopped doing it. We've had to limit our dates quite a bit since we lost the mansion. But the Art Museum has graciously opened their doors for us to continue the programming there two nights this coming December. And we've rebranded it the Dickens Christmas Feast, where we retell the tale of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Okay, well known to everyone. And this is the Marley Bridges Theater Company, which you were on just a short... We had you on just a little while ago, a few weeks ago, just to start your season off.
Yeah.
And hopefully everything is going well.
Yes, absolutely. We survived the zombie hordes.
All right.
And the
From
zombie
our
musical.
Halloween show.
Yeah,
we had,
it was a lot of fun. We closed at the Jane Pickens Theater on Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of fun there.
Well, there you go. And now it's on to the holiday tradition. And tonight we're going to listen to some music that Patrick has provided, which is, I hate to use the term generic.
Well, but, I wouldn't say generic. They're not recordings of us. It is music that we are.
What I mean. Not specific to you or someone that's involved with the company.
Correct. These are pieces that we are rehearsing for our concert that is a part of the Christmas Feast. As pieces that are incorporated into the story as we tell the tale of the three ghosts that haunt poor Jacob Marley that night.
So as the story is told, and most people know the story pretty much, is this a unusual rendition that you're doing?
Yeah, it's completely interactive.
Oh.
So our audience arrives as they're coming to a party, and it swiftly becomes apparent that one of the partygoers is not as much fun as the rest. And he plays our Scrooge for the night.
Okay.
And it's set in the 1890s, so it's after the publication of the story. And we tell the story as if the families of Newport have come together to transform their very own Scrooge by visiting upon him three ghosts of their own during the Christmas party that they've hosted in his honor to turn him from a Scrooge into a true believer of the season.
All right. Well, this sounds like we got to get more information, but let's get to a piece of music before we get too much further along. This first one is O Come All Ye Faithful, a tune that just about everybody will be familiar with. Do we know who recorded this? Or is
this is the King's Choir.
All right.
Of Cambridge.
Cambridge King's Choir, yeah. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Come and behold me, O Lord.
Patrick. If people are interested in this tradition or making a new tradition for themselves, they can get more information on your website?
Yeah, marleybridges.org.
And is there a phone number that can be called?
Absolutely. 401-324-9436 is the main theater line.
All right. Now, besides this presentation you're doing on December 13th and 14th, your company has done lots of different things and is available for different things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We do a lot of murder mysteries, which are our primary fundraiser for a lot of the programming that we then do the rest of the year. We do outdoor Shakespeare. We do one-act operas. Last year, we did some P.D.Q. Bach operas, which were a lot of fun. And this year, we did a big outdoor Shakespeare show of The Comedy of Errors.
Okay. Now, are these events done by professional actors that you
Absolutely.
Have on staff? Or,
yeah, I have
or...
actors from all over the country that I hired originally, some of them when we were at Beechwood. So I've got actors from Wisconsin and Chicago and, you know, Texas, North mm-hmm. Carolina, Colorado, Oregon. And
is there an opportunity for anyone locally to get involved with this? Or
Yeah, we've got a bunch of local folks involved. We've got some folks coming up from Westerly, from Providence, some local folks from Lincoln, some folks from Newport, as a matter of fact, who live in Newport.
So if they're interested in that, they can contact you and find out
how to
proceed with
that.
Yeah, and
we post generally an audition notification online on our website and send out through our email blast that we're seeking actors for upcoming productions. And we have a couple of days of auditions when we encourage people to send out the information we need from for them to bring, headshot, resume, a couple of monologues or a song, depending on what it is we're doing.
Right. But you are a nonprofit organization.
Correct. We operate under the auspices of the Beechwood Foundation, which was created in 2001 when we were still at Beechwood. Mm-hmm. And then when the mansion was sold, all for-profit entities went with it. So the theater company just shifted under the nonprofit and left the premises. And now we're a wandering troupe of, call us minstrels, if you will.
All right. And is there a headquarters or an address? Or
we don't have a physical office.
Okay.
For the time being, we're focusing on paying our performers.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, we would have an office, but every time I look at how much an office space would cost us, I think that's money I could pay actors. And
probably
I can't bring myself.
Newport, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, for me, running it out of the house is not a big deal. It's pretty convenient for me. My garage is full of props. My basement has 170 linear feet of costumes hung in it.
There you go.
Because our costumes are all made specifically for the shows we do by our in-house costumer.
So. All right. I want to talk to you more about costumes, but
sure.
Let's get to another piece of music first.
Oh, great.
This is The Holly and the Ivy.
Yeah. We like some of the chipper, holiday tunes.
All right.
And this one is particularly upbeat and pleasant.
All right. Here we go.
And the running of the deer, the playing of our merry organ, sweet singing in the choir.
Now you've got me singing the holly and the ivy.
That was the goal. It's an earworm.
There we
You'll
go.
Never get it out of there until the next Christmas carol we play.
All right, yeah. And we have six more, so that'll be good. It'll be good. And some of them aren't quite the familiar tunes. So
that's true.
Stay
yeah.
tuned, because we have some interesting music coming up. That we mentioned costuming and outfits and so forth, and how much you have in your home stored away. When you put together costumes like this, where do you get the ideas? Who's the creator?
Well, I have a vast collection of costumes, thanks to, in large part, to the crazy talent that I've been able to find in my quests across the country. Our primary costumer is a gentleman by the name of Lewis Seymour. He has a master's of music and vocal performance from the University of Ohio as an opera singer.
Hmm.
He's a lyric baritone, and on the side, he has a great passion for costuming, and he has made for us, from period patterns, these costumes that he finds the patterns in old Harper's Bazaar magazines. And so he goes from 1890 to about 1893 and pulls patterns that fit our time periods. And the patterns are, if you've ever seen the Harper's Bazaar magazine, it's a large format magazine.
Right, it's almost newspaper size.
Yeah, but the patterns are all on one sheet. So when you pull that pattern out of the old magazine, it has a series of dotted lines that form every panel. And the dotted lines are all different. So it'll be dot, dot, dash, dot, dot, dash, or it'll be dot, dash, 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 dot, dash, dash, dash. And he has to lay tracing paper over the top of that and trace every one of those pieces out, because the costumes themselves, if you look at those old Victorian costumes, are a great number of panels. And every panel is unique and then needs to be tailored to the person who wears it. So... And that person who's wearing it, in our instance, is in a corset.
See, you would have been much better off if you decided to do something from the 1950s and just take the stuff out of my closet.
Right, or the 1920s, and we could have just a bunch of A-line sack dresses for flappers. We do some 20s stuff, but the Victorian costumes are so beautiful. And so our costumes can't be just costume pieces that you would see on stage.
Right.
Because they need to...
You're up close and personal.
Yeah, they need to withstand the scrutiny of someone standing and shaking your hand.
Right.
And looking at your costume and looking at the back and seeing how it's laced and seeing how every piece is stitched together. And oftentimes they want to touch a girl's waist and see if she's corseted. And yeah, we put them all in corsets. And
I hadn't thought of that. That's not the first thing that comes to mind,
yeah.
But okay.
But a lot of people who come to the shows, and that's part of it for us, is the fact that we do recreate these very specific period costumes for each of our girls. So they get a new dress made for them.
And what about yourself? Do you have people coming up and touching you?
Well, when I'm dancing with them, yes.
Okay,
but not, you know, men's suits aren't the same, Mike. You know,
okay.
We really didn't change like the women.
You don't wear the corset or anything?
No. Well, not in public.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It'd just be embarrassing.
We'll have a short holiday tune now before we take our first break. This is not for short people. This is just a
right.
short in length.
Right.
Called Carol of the Bells.
I think everyone will be familiar with this one.
I think so. We'll then take a short break and be back with more of Patrick Grimes and Marley Bridges Theater Company.
From everywhere, feeling the air. Oh, how they come, praising the sun, roaring the day, tearing the day.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Patrick Grimes of Marley Bridges Theater Company in beautiful downtown Newport, Rhode Island. And Patrick, we've talked a little bit, just kind of touched a little bit on some of the things that you do for the holiday season and that you do other things. What might some of those other things be that you do all year long?
Well, all year long, we do a series of murder mysteries at the Art Museum, which are a lot of fun. And those span a greater time period. We do all the way back to the 1860s and all the way as far forward as the 1960s is the most recent one we've done. But we try to focus on times with fun costumes and fun characters that we aren't going to offend people who might still be alive.
Okay, well, that's always a good thing. And do you ever leave the Newport Art Museum?
Oh, absolutely. We do stuff all over the place, and we've been hired a great number of times to do private and corporate events. From as far as out on the Cape in Peabody, all the way down to, you know, Westerly. We've done stuff in New York. We were hired not too long ago to do some stuff at the Waldorf Astoria for a party they were having down there.
All right. So if someone is listening and interested in having a fundraiser of some kind, they can contact you through the website.
Absolutely.
And check that out and see how that goes. We're talking mostly today about the events on December 13th and 14th at the Newport Art Museum. And if you haven't been there, it's a very interesting building, and it's an interesting area. A lot of things to do and see around there.
Yeah, the building itself was built in 1864 for a Boston merchant by the name of John N.A. Griswold. And he hired a young, up-and-coming architect, a hack, really, Richard Morris Hunt. I mean, what else has he done, right?
Right.
But it was Hunt's first Newport commission was the John N.A. Griswold House. And so he was straight out of the Beaux-d'Arts in Paris, got his first Newport commission in 1864, and that's the guy who went on to build Marble House and the Breakers. And
the Breakers is the one that most people probably are familiar with. And, you know, it's always interesting to me that someone during the middle of a civil war would decide to build something like the Newport Art Museum.
Well, it was just a summer cottage, so he wasn't being extravagant. I mean, it's
it just seems a little ironic that, you know, all that was going on in our history, and then that things like this are commissioned to be built. But it's a very beautiful building, and certainly worth the trip. And you'll also have the opportunity to see a great production. And let's get to another piece of holiday music so we can get that last tune out of our head and go to one that is not very familiar, at least not to most people, I don't think. And this is about three potato chips.
No, three ships.
Oh, ships.
Yeah, not chips.
Okay, I see. So.
This is about the three ships that sailing in on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And I saw them.
I thought that was Columbus Day, but that's, see, I get very easily confused.
I think this was written a little before Columbus's time.
All right, here we go.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. And what was in the ships all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day? And what was in the ships all three on Christmas Day in the morning? Our Savior Christ and His Lady. On Christmas Day, our Savior Christ and His Lady, on Christmas Day in the morning.
Three ships sailed in. I get it now. Ships. Okay.
Ships, yeah. Ships. And what was on those ships, all three?
Well, things.
Yeah.
Right.
Stuff.
And stuff.
I think there might have been some chips on them.
It could have been. One of the first chip ships.
Yes.
So I don't know why we're going there, but anyway.
We're very odd. That's
we
why,
are.
Mike.
We are odd, and that's one of the things I enjoy about Patrick and the Marley Bridges Theater Company. They think differently. And speaking of that, how many people are involved in the company when they see this production?
Well, the show at for the Christmas Feast, we have 18.
18?
In the cast, yeah.
18?
Yeah.
That's
a big
huge
cast. Yeah.
I was thinking two or three because it's interactive and you'd be able to get something. So there's 18 plus you use the audience.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the audience members, I don't want people to feel like because it's interactive, it's off-putting. Some people don't want to be spoken to during a show, but the way we set it up is that it's all very informal in its interactivity. I mean, you can be as involved or as much or as little as you'd like, quite frankly. But people who play along better might get pulled up to be a part of other stuff later in the evening when we need to teach our Scrooge a lesson.
Right, so there's opportunity for everyone. You can sit back and relax and enjoy the evening.
Or snap some beautiful photographs of your loved one being a little more involved than you.
Can they take photographs of you too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, see, that's a little unusual because usually the first thing you hear when you go into a production is absolutely no photographs.
I know.
So you allow that.
And, we do.
And then you allow them to touch you.
Yeah, well, within reason.
Okay.
You know, I don't want them touching our faces and stuff. That'd just be weird.
Okay.
Is that a real person or a mannequin? That's, yes, I'm real.
It's a real person. This next piece of music that we're going to go to is not in English.
No.
So I'll let you handle this.
It's one of our Latin carols that we do like, and it's also another one of our chipper, upbeat carols. In Dulci Jubilo.
In Dulci Jubilo.
In Dulci Jubilo, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I'm
the things I want to make sure our audience understands that this is a great night out. Not only will you get to see the beautiful costuming and hear the beautiful music and get the opportunity to take pictures.
And be in a beautiful mansion.
Be in a beautiful mansion. There are other things involved. And one of the things involved is the fact that, you know, I've seen holiday traditions that go on. For example, I know someone that attended a program in Boston and paid $139 for a ticket to that event. Now, I'm guessing it's not quite that expensive for your event.
Well, I would say most of our tickets are not.
All right.
There's one price point above that, but okay. Yeah, but it's only a dollar above that.
So for $140.
Yeah. See, because it is a Christmas feast.
Right.
There's a full meal involved. It starts with past hors d'oeuvres, hot cider, and homemade eggnog. During the sort of cocktail hour when people are wandering around, we've got some small group ensembles singing as wandering minstrels and, mm-hmm. you know, keeping the evening light as people arrive. When we then go into the main gallery to sit down and start the full-on performance of the transformation of our Scrooge for the night, there's a served salad and then a main course. The main course accompanies with some dancing, and then we have a dessert that's served. And during dessert and coffee, we do a 30-minute choral concert.
Wow. So these people that I know that paid $139 and just got a concert, they were really making a bad mistake.
Yeah, they made a poor choice.
A poor choice, because for a dollar more, you could have all of that.
Well, for a dollar more, you could have all of that and the most expensive meal that is offered from our caterer, which is the 9-ounce Black Angus filet mignon.
Oh, there are other choices.
Oh, yeah. For $115, that's our basic choice. That's the traditional turkey. Or a delicious vegetarian option, which is a stuffed portobello mushroom cap with a white bean and vegetable stuffing. It's amazing.
Great. So for $115, you can have the more traditional turkey holiday dinner. That's
and
great.
Then for a short step up from that, only $15 more a plate, you can have your choice of grilled salmon or braised short ribs, another traditional Victorian holiday food. So.
And you don't treat the people that pay the top price any different than the people that pay the
price.
No,
they might be
price.
Sitting at the same table with people who bought for the $115
price.
There
you go.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of seating. It's a matter of just food choice.
And it's a pretty limited audience. We sell out at 100 seats.
Wow. All right. So we want to make sure that if you're interested, you get involved quickly by calling the phone number or go to the website. We're going to take another commercial break. In the meantime, we have one more tune to do before we take that break. Tell us about this one.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Because we're telling the story of A Christmas Carol, not all of it is happy. And so we do incorporate some of the more somber of the carols. This one's called In the Bleak Midwinter, and it is one of my favorite carols of all time.
We will listen to that and then be back with more. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Patrick Grimes from the Marley Bridges Theater Company in Newport. And Patrick and company will be putting on their presentation on December 13th and 14th at the Newport... the Newport
Art Museum.
Art Museum. Yeah. I was going to say Art Museum, and then I thought maybe that's not the right title, but it is. Yeah. We'll give you more information about that and how you can get tickets and the website and phone number in the next segment. But we want to do a little bit more discussion. And one of the things that we talked about off-air, Patrick, was the fact that this is a nonprofit organization, and people can contribute if they enjoy the arts.
Absolutely.
And they can do that through the website.
Yep.
And yeah. I'm sure if they called you up, you could talk them through it.
Yeah, and I never say no to money.
Right.
Because our primary goal is making sure that all of our artists do get paid.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah, because they put in a lot of hard work to create these amazing things. And our Christmas season, to make it look as effortless as it is, as it appears, I guess, is the music that we go into great rehearsals, a great number of rehearsals for.
Now, most of this music is a cappella, correct?
Correct.
And if there is accompaniment, it's just a piano type of thing. So these singers slash actors or actors slash singers, depending on how you look at it.
Yep, depending on how they list it on their resume.
Right. There's a lot of work involved here.
Yeah.
Now, as a guy that's been singing a cappella his whole life, I know that we create a certain repertoire. We travel around the world and we sing those songs kind of over and over again. But in your case...
We try not to do the same stuff every year because a lot of times we have people returning year after year after year.
Right.
We have one patron who's been coming to the show since it started in the 1980s, and he comes back every year, comes down from Boston and brings a big group of friends, and they usually buy a table or two.
And there you go, and you're singing music that's written in at least four parts.
Yeah, a lot of times it's six.
Six parts, so with sopranos and altos and tenors and baritones and basses and all those in between.
Yes.
It makes for an interesting evening of music. So
yeah,
and even with just
the voices, I'm sure you can attest, you know, that a cappella feel can be quite rich and full without accompaniment. And we try to do it without accompaniment because... who knows where we'll be performing next.
Right, right.
And so if we end up having to be somewhere where we can't have an accompanist and we still need to put together 30 minutes of music...
You can do that.
We can do it.
And your music director is part of the group?
Yeah. Nikki Lawrence is our musical director. She was hired in, 2000 as just an actress.
Wait a minute, don't they just an actress?
Well, that's how she was initially hired, was just to be an actress in the group. And... She, you know, she had a great singing voice at that time. She had her bachelor's in opera performance, and the primary hiring for her was not to be an administrator or a musical director or any of that other stuff. She was just in the troupe as one of our actors, a performer.
There you go.
And she has really risen to the occasion over the last 13 years, taking the reins and becoming our musical director. And she puts together all the music rehearsals, redoes arrangements. So that we have original arrangements and finds new pieces from old books.
A lot of work involved.
Yeah, but she has a great passion for it. So
excellent. Well, I hope that you don't ever find yourself in the situation where Robert De Niro comes to Newport and you hire him and call him just an actor.
I would.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He would just be an actor at that point because you're not going to hire Robert De Niro to do any singing.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Probably true. Speaking of singing and music, we have another piece of music here called Noël. Was that the full title?
Yeah. Noël Nouvelet.
Aha.
Thank you.
Eric, thanks for coming in this evening and telling our audience about your wonderful event, which is going to take place on December 13th and 14th. And what's the official title of the event?
The Dickens Christmas Feast.
The Dickens Christmas Feast. And as we described, tremendous food. And you can go online, find out all about it. And they do that by going to what site?
MarleyBridges.org.
MarleyBridges.org. Or calling...
I should start at the beginning, right? 401-324-9436.
All right, there you go. And we have one more piece of music to listen to. And just thanks for coming in. It was great to see you again.
It was a pleasure being here.
And it's always great to listen to this music. Some of it more familiar than others. And we're going to go out with a very familiar piece here. Tell us about this last one.
If you haven't heard this one, you've been living under a rock.
Right.
Your entire life. It's O Holy Night.
O Holy Night. And we'll listen to as much as possible of this. It's a little bit lengthy, so we'll kind of fade out as we go. We'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.